Yesterday, Saroji explained what is a bhikkhu. Most of the people understand that bhikkhu is a person who wear the robes, who bear the appearance of a monk. But it is not so. By wearing the robe, one is said to be bearing the appearance of a monk, of a bhikkhu. But if one does not practice, then being a bhikkhu, being a monk, will not be meaningful. In order to become a true bhikkhu who bears the practice, one should be noting the nama rupa phenomena. If one does not see this life with continuous nama rupa phenomena as frightening, if one does not see the flaws of the samsara, then one will not be a bhikkhu. Seeing the flaws, seeing that these nama rupa phenomena arising in life are frightening, seeing that samsara round of existences are frightening, one should uproot the root cause of these suffering of samsara. One should understand that one needs to uproot these root causes of the suffering of samsara. So, one should practice the teaching of the Buddha. In practicing the teaching of the Buddha, one should have kalyanamitta, a true friend, genuine friend. Saroji will later on explain the factors of a kalyanamitta, a true friend. So, the person who is fearful of the suffering, they need to uproot the root cause of the suffering. As much one can practice, one can overcome gross, medium, and refined form of kilesa defilements gradually. The defilements which have been causing the suffering in the samsara round of existence. So one should gradually remove these kilesa defilements, and finally one should uproot these defilements to the point of no return. In order to be successful in removing the kilesa defilements, one should be patipannaka, the person who walks on the path of satipatthana. In walking this path of satipatthana, what kind of strength do they need to use? And how strong, how powerful such strength should be? In walking the satipatthana path, the strength they are using should not be less, but one should put complete strength in order to walk the satipatthana path so that they will get immediate benefit as well as further benefits. Buddha guided the satipatthana way that Buddha himself practiced, so there is a guarantee. As a bhikkhu, As a person who is practicing in this samsara, a bhikkhu, a person who is practicing in this sasana, teaching of the Buddha, the person is called a bhikkhu as well as a yogi. So the usage is different, bhikkhu and yogi, but the meaning is the same. It does not mean that only by wearing the robes one has to do with satipatthana practice, but whoever it may be, whoever it is, the one practicing the straight, the one practicing walking on the straight path of satipatthana is included in the list of bhikkhu. And Saraji will explain according to the teaching of the Buddha. And first of all, Saraji will explain the usage of the word yogi. There are four kinds of objects to be noted in the practice of satipatthana meditation. Kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. These four are to be noted. Group of materiality, kaya, should be noted and observed. Good and bad feeling, pleasant, painful feeling are to be observed, and various kinds of thinking, imagining are to be noted. And other general things such as seeing, hearing should also be noted. So among these four fields of object, they should be noted. Bhutam bhutato passati. When these nama rupa phenomena arise due to relevant cause, when they arise, when they are obvious, one should note them right away as soon as they arise. So one should be noting this materiality, and one should also be noting pleasant and painful feeling arising in both in the mind and body, mental pleasant painful feeling, physical pleasant and painful feelings should be noted. And when there are thoughts and imaginations, they should be noted. And when there is seeing, hearing, they should be noted. Among these field of objects to be noted, the object that is arising at the present moment, which is obvious, which could be taken as an object, should be noted. Among these four fields of object, kaya, group of materiality, is the most obvious among these four. And even among the kaya, vayo dhatu, air element, is most obvious. Like the saying, yatha pagata vipassana biniveso, one should start observing from the object that is most obvious, most prominent. During the practice of vipassana, one should contemplate on the object that is most obvious, and because kaya is most obvious, one should start noting from kaya. And in the Gaya also, the materiality, such as stiffness, tension, movement, they are obvious. So at the moment of their arising, one should note them with sustained mindfulness. As soon as the object arises, one should note it immediately with mindfulness so that the mindfulness will be firmly established on the object. It is called satipatthana, firmly established mindfulness is called satipatthana. In order that the noting mind will be closely, firmly established on the object, one needs viriya, effort. One needs to assert ardent effort. One should be alert, active, and ready to note the object. Viriya, effort, can also be called yoga. And yoga is a synonym to viriya. Yoga means diligent effort. And there are three stages of effort. The first one is initial effort. The second one is stepped up effort in order to overcome laziness. And the third one is effort stage by stage till one finally reaches one's goal. If a person is endowed with the first stage of effort, then the person who possesses this effort is called yogi. Yogi means possessor of effort, possessor of diligent effort. One should possess and one should own viriya, effort, so that it will be owned, possessed by the person. Only if one owns or possesses this viriya can he, she be called a yogi. A yogi is a possessor or the owner of diligent effort. And this effort should not be ordinary, but it should be atisaya, exceptionally, extraordinary, exceptional effort. One should have the effort so that even others have to look at this person for his diligent effort. And one should have effort so that one will gain benefit and success in the practice. So the possessor of yoga, the possessor of diligent effort, is called a yogi. And what is the benefit of possessing yoga? Possessing effort is that bhavanaya, the benefit will be that the mind will become purified and there will be development of both the mind and the knowledge. In order to purify and develop the mind and the knowledge, one should be exerting effort every single second. And it is according, the practice and the theory is in accordance. Patipannaka is a person who is mindful every single second, who is asserting, who is having this mindfulness every single second. Whether it is a human, a Brahma, or a lay devotee, male or female, whoever is practicing in this teaching of the Buddha is said to be a bhikkhu. So one cannot deny the fact that by practicing according to the teaching of the Buddha in this sasana, whether a lay person, whether a male or female lay person, or a monk, whoever it is, can be called a bhikkhu. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is not only for the Buddhists, but everyone should practice Satipatthana meditation. It means that everyone of every belief should practice Satipatthana practice. As a human, there are responsibility and duty. One has the responsibility to control oneself so that others will not get hurt physically or mentally. One should refrain from things that should be refrained from so that others will not get hurt. And one also has the responsibility to perform things that should be performed that will bring the benefit for oneself as well as others. So such responsibilities, these are the responsibilities for everyone, for every human. One should have mindfulness. And this mindfulness is called appamatta. Appamatta is the opposite of pamatta, opposite of negligence or failure. Appamatta means mindfulness, continuously mindful, vigilant, in order to refrain from things that should be refrained from. One needs to be mindful. One needs to be mindful in order to refrain from things that should be refrained from. And one should be mindful. One should be vigilant in order to perform things that should be performed. Being negligent, failing to refrain from things that should be refrained from, one will meet harm and danger. Being negligent, failing to perform things that should be performed, one will not get benefit. So, negligent, failing to refrain from things that should be refrained from, negligent, failing to perform things that should be performed, it means that one is not walking on this path of Satipatthana practice effectively. One should be mindful so that the mind will be purified. This is the sure way. Whenever the bodily activities arise, one should be noting them, and it will be kaya nupassana. Whatever the feeling arises, one should be noting them, and it will be vedana nupassana. Whenever thoughts, imaginations arise, one should note them. It will be citta nupassana. Whenever one sees, hears, smells, tastes, and touch, so on, one should note them so that there will be dhamma nupassana. So in brief, whatever object that arises, both in the mind and the body, should be noted. And one should be mindful so that one can refrain from bad things and one will perform good things. One should cultivate this mindfulness so that this mindfulness can give assurance. In order to keep the mindfulness strong, in order to strengthen the mindfulness, one needs to have yoga, or in other words, viriya, effort. Without effort, one cannot strengthen the mindfulness. So one should have the courage in order to refrain from things that should be refrained from. One should have the courage in order to perform things that should be performed. And Satipatthana practice is very important. In the practice of Satipatthana, one should assert effort so that even the minute objects will not be missed to note. By asserting effort in order to note everything, even the minute objects, one needs effort. And with this effort, one blocks the way of unwholesomeness. Having viriya effort, this effort does not accept kilesa defilements, but it repels the kilesa defilements. So in order to block the defilements, one needs to assert effort. One should assert initial effort, stepped up effort, effort stage by stage, till one reaches one goal. During the practice of meditation, when the yogi is noting rising and falling of the abdomen, for example, yogis should assert effort every single second in order to be able to note the presently arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen. The person must not be practicing in a cool, easy manner. The person must not be practicing sluggishly. There should not be sluggishness in the practice, but one should assert effort so that mindfulness will develop. And also, the mind will be calm and collected on the object. When the yogi is able to note once, then he, she will be blocking the defilements from entering the mind once. And again, when the yogi asserts effort another time in order to note the object again, and also yogi is said to be blocking the path of unwholesomeness again. So by putting on effort continuously, one is said to be blocking the way of unwholesomeness, and the way of wholesomeness will open. And one should also boost up the effort second by second, every single second. The person who possesses effort is called a yogi. And by noting continuously, the person becomes a yogi by possessing this effort. When the yogi can note continuously for 1 minute, there will be 60 moments of possessing this effort, and thus there will be 60 moments of being a true yogi. So what are the benefits is that if one lacks control of mindfulness, then it will be like driving a car without a brake, and one will end up in an accident causing problems. So one should have control on oneself with mindfulness. One should have control so that one will not be committing, killing, stealing, adultery, sexual misconduct, and so on. So without control of oneself, one may be committing this misconduct by body and speech, even if it does not get to transgression by body and speech, the mind will still be polluted and dirty and inferior. So in order to prevent the mind from being dirty or polluted, one should exert effort in the practice by being able to note the object. The mind will become pure and clean, and one will be developing knowledge. One should have faith and confidence on the practice. In order to practice the mental development practice, bhavana. So practicing bhavana means developing, cultivating, increasing the pure, clean mind so that the mind will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to many. So in order to develop the mind, one should exert effort, and being possessing this effort, one is called a yogi. So in the text, the definition of a yogi is bhavanaya yutta payutataya yogi. Yogi is a person who exerts diligent effort in the practice of mental development practice. So yogis who are practicing now, they should compare this definition mentioned in the text with their own practice. So when they are comparing their practice to what is explained in the text, they should be honest. It is the human nature of exaggerating their virtues and also lessening their own mistakes. So it is the nature of the human. So when you compare your experience, your practice to this definition of a yogi, you should be honest. You should not be hiding the weaknesses, and you should not be exaggerating something that you cannot do. So in this way, you should compare whether the way you are practicing is in according to what is a yogi. One should put effort in the practice so that one will have control of oneself, so that one will not be committing misconduct and transgression. If one lets ardent effort, one will not be controlling oneself with mindfulness. If there is lack of control, one will let one's life free, one will let one life to be stray without any control. But one may think that one is comfortable and happy by just living freely without any control, letting the life be stray. If one has committed wrongdoings, then he/she will not be blameless. There will be faults, and thus one can encounter bad consequences due to his or her misconduct. And the person's life, the end of person's life, will not be pleasant. One will not have a good ending of life. Staying alive very free without control It may be comfortable, getting kama sukha, sensual happiness, mila sukha, happiness and pleasure which are mixed with defilements and pollutants. So such kind of happiness and pleasure could be gained by puttojana, worldly beings who have thick layers of kilesa defilements. Such kind of happiness and pleasure could also be gained by dirichana, animals. Such pleasure are not pure and clean, and they are also called anariya sukha. If they are taking such kind of happiness to be a true happiness, and if they are wasting their time, if they are spending much of their time with such kind of happiness and pleasure, they may be comfortable, but such kind of pleasure are not pure, clean. It can even lead to suffering, and such pleasure and happiness are dangerous and fatal. They are not the kind of happiness that has guarantee, but they are mixed with defilements and pollutants. So in order to gain the happiness that has a guarantee, one needs to give up such worldly sensual pleasure. So coming into retreat, giving up the worldly pleasure, one gains nikkhama sukha, happiness of renunciation, even before practicing. When there is seclusion from the companionship of a person or defilement, one gains paviveta sukha, happiness gained through seclusion. When the yogi gains momentum in the practice, raga, lust will be calm, and there will be upasama sukha, the happiness gained through calming of these defilements. When the person gains knowledge, such as knowledge into nama rupa, mind and matter, and especially when the yogi gains the knowledge of udiyabhaya jnana, insight into fast arising and passing away, then the yogi gains the kind of happiness that transcends, that excels the worldly human happiness. It is said that amanusi rati hoti, the kind of happiness and pleasure that the yogi gets at the stage of udiyabhaya jnana, excels the worldly human happiness. And such kind of happiness and pleasure is unique kind of happiness that is unrelinquishable. Even this unique happiness is ever new and new. It will be new and new even though it is the unique kind of happiness. And by practicing on, it is the way to gain avedayita sukha and sandhi sukha, which has guarantee. So one should understand that by practicing, it will be a foundation in order to gain the guarantee kind of happiness, the happiness that is free from danger, that excels so many times than the worldly pleasure. In order to gain the kind of happiness and pleasure that has a guarantee, Buddha encouraged the yogis to be a true yogi by exerting ardent effort in the practice in order to develop the mind and the knowledge. So yogis should be practicing intensively with diligent effort. in order to gain the unique and relishable kind of happiness, in order to develop the mind and the knowledge, one needs to practice with effort, diligent effort, and keep on walking the path of Satipatthana practice. So by practicing the Satipatthana practice, one can gain this unique kind of happiness, which will ever be new and fresh to you. In the country where it is scientifically advanced, scientifically and technologically advanced, there are new inventions, and they become fed up with the old things, inventing new things. So Sayadawji said, even in marriage, some people are having one partner after another when they get fed up with the one that they've been. So in the practice, when they practice Satipatthana meditation, when they gain this unique kind of happiness, which will ever be new and fresh to them, they will gain self-control of themselves so that they can lead a decent life as a decent citizen. Having the help of this science and technology, they can have the comfort, the worldly comfort. Having the support of Satipatthana practice, they can gain Nikkhama Sukha, Paviveda Sukha, Upasama Sukha, and Sambodha Sukha. And they will realize that this Satipatthana practice is the best when they have gained this unique kind of happiness. Buddha guaranteed that this Satipatthana practice can give this unique kind of happiness. And then Buddha showed the way how to practice. In Satipatthana Sutta, Eskaye Kayanupassi, and so on. So this Satipatthana practice, it is simple and it is very satisfying. And Saraji will continue to explain the next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.